Welcome to the podcast where we ramble and ramble.
It happens more often than you think.
Yeah, well, that's going to be like half of this show. Let's be real.
Yep. But so, that's the point.
Basically, the format for this episode, it's basically story time with all six of us featuring the good, the bad, and ugly of our convention experiences.
Oh, let's call it correctly, the fugly.
Sure.
Well beyond ugly.
The good, the fugly, and the super fucked up. Oh my God, why are fucking people like this?
Yep. So the rules are simple. Every story, if you wish, take a shot. But we try and make it so that since we're running on a very short amount of time, everybody gets one story for each category. Good, bad, fugly.
Good idea for me to take a shot now then? Get started?
Yep. Oh, yeah.
Go for it.
Okay. I mean, Jax is on like his fifth shot right now. So let's.
For me, it's right from the bottle. Sorry you can't see this, but Vernita wasn't happy with that unflattering camera angle I chose earlier. So can you blame her? That was pretty bad. Okay, here we go. That's smooth, not. That's not Patron Silver, as you can see. This is whatever Jonesy brought last time he was here. Oh, that made me gag like a maggot. Gag a maggot.
Oh, I have a bad aftertaste, or?
Yeah. It's just not good.
Have Who's you tried the that new trend going around right now where you take cheap liquor and filter it through a Brita and it's actually supposed to make it taste better?
Wait, is that what? Right? That's a thing?
We had a friend that tested it out on Rumplemints and he says it almost tastes like water afterwards. It'll get you drunk off of it. It gets rid of the bad aftertaste on cheap liquor.
How about you? Well, I've got an unused Brita pitcher and a bunch of filters for it. Maybe I should turn that into the bad tequila filter.
Well, I mean, all it is carbon filtering, like what they do normally with liquor. So it makes sense. So
yeah.
That being said, I finally had a good shot of Malort. That was
there's a guy on TikTok that does a bunch of mixers with Malort because he's trying to find one that actually tastes good with Malort. And I think he found one that was like Coca-Cola, Dr. Pepper mixture. And he's like, it almost got rid of the taste of Malort, but still nothing yet.
Malort is so bad. It's just so bad.
I'm going to try that. I told.
When the Game Grumps came into Chicago, our friend Megan, who did all the artwork for them, was like, let's try Malort. And I'm in the front audience like, hell no. Do not listen to her.
No.
I wonder if you used the Brita filter method and poured Goldschlager through it, if you could like panning for gold while you're drinking.
Someone actually already mathematic that up. And there's just enough gold in there for you to buy a smaller bottle of Goldschlager. So they're not losing anything. Yeah, you're paying for it already.
Well, it's kind of like a credit card bonus points. You drink enough Goldschlager, at some point you're going to accrue enough gold to buy something good.
Yeah, that is true.
It might take you 10 years.
Speaking of which, how goes the Patron cork wall for your studio?
Oh, it's pretty good. It's pretty good. I've got a big glass vase that's just about full of them. And once we finally get moved and I build my new studio, that's when I'm going to put them all together. But I need my dedicated lifetime studio, my toe tag studio, before I put all the cork up.
Fair enough.
Yeah. But it's looking good. I got a lot of them. I have a long way to go yet. Who's going to help me drink more tequila?
In other words, you.
Well, when we're on the cruise, I will gladly help you drink more tequila. That's Yay! Not a problem.
Sweet. I think collecting the corks might be a bit of an issue on the cruise, but I'll try. That's for sure. I'll make friends with a bartender right away, or have our Art DePinto make friends with a bartender right away like he does anyway, and start collecting all the corks.
There you go. New convention name, Patron Con. Just go there and drink Patron all weekend.
Oh, my God. I love the Tequila Con.
Oh, no.
Tequila Con.
Do not give him ideas.
Oh, I love this. Tequila Con. John St. John's Tequila Con.
No.
As long as we play tequila the whole entire time, too.
For breakfast, lunch, and dinner, baby. Oh, yeah.
Instead of badge checks, there's door sobriety checks. Are you sober? No, you can't enter in here. Take three shots.
Exactly. You must be at least this drunk to enter.
God, it's just like college. All right. So before we go into the rambling hell that is everything we do, we'll do the round robin. Who would like to start us off with the good story? Something that has happened that is good at a convention.
I'm a cosplayer. Nothing good has ever happened to me at a convention.
Okay. I've got a good one. I got a good one from 7 years ago. I got invited to this con that we won't mention by a person I will because she's sitting next to me. And we became friends fast, We liked each other. That's all I can say. At the time, we were both involved with other people. But I had said to this person at this con, hey, if we're ever single, we should probably get together because you're pretty cool. And that person said,
the fuck?
And so within a year or two, that person came to me and said,
so I'm single.
And I said, so, well, where's your room? And we became fast friends, and we dated long distance for 7 years, mm-hmm. right? Meeting up at all the cons that she booked me at. And then just over a year ago, Vernita moved out here along with her boys, and now we have a happy little life here in California. Mm-hmm. We love it a lot.
Awesome.
We're very happy. Are we very happy, or is it just me?
No, we're very happy.
Okay, we're both very happy. So it's a so there's a good story from cons, because I know that there are a lot of people, a lot of couples have met at conventions. I know this for a fact because I've married a few of them. I did a wedding just a couple of weeks ago in Bakersfield, California, and married a couple of nerds. And it's quite a pleasure. We'll be doing some on the cruise next year, too.
Ooh, that's fact. Exciting.
Yeah, the King Con cruise will be, yeah.
That's also how Brad and Maddie met, too, was at a convention.
Yeah, actually,
we were at their wedding.
I was going to say, yeah, I'm trying to think it was 2015 BrahmaCon that we officially met.
No,
I think
was it 14?
I don't know. I just remember 14. It was RamenCon because we had met once before at ASIN and I didn't know who you were. I think we just casually met each other at the Resident Evil shoot and we didn't think much, but it was this lovely panel by the man named DC Douglas that how we met at RamenCon, because
wow, what a pervy way to meet.
Oh, I know, right?
Kidding. It's a joke.
Oh yeah, no it was funny because in the background I was trying to, as John, as you said, I was trying to date someone else at the time. And this girl was a DC Douglas fan. And I learned long ago that if you want to impress women in the cosplay community, you dress as their husbandos. So I was doing some research and I'm like, all right, this is a pretty cool character. And the irony of irony was that the girl I was trying to date then was chatting with my now wife now. And I saw them from a distance and they were fangirling very loud. And I'm like, oh my God, those two girls are nuts. Now I'm married to one of them. So yeah, that was kind of nice. I met a very nice lady at cons. I hear it works every once in a while. You should try it too. There's nice guys too.
There you go. There you go. Love happens at conventions.
Yes, it does.
And other things too, but they stay there.
Yep.
True. That's very true.
That con stays in the next hamster.
I don't know. I'm starting to see the next generation of cosplayers going around. I saw people I've grown up with cosplay wise that now have kids that they are literally naming Sora and Riku. So, ooh. What happens at cons is now running around that are 3 and 5 year old.
Yeah, I have a friend whose kid whose name was Winry. So I was like,
okay, that's a bit more of a normal one.
Yeah,
than
yeah, that's more
Riku.
Normal. Yeah, oh yeah, no doubt there. It's not like Sasuke or Naruto. I've seen a couple of those in the wild.
Yeah, there's nothing on those names or anything like that. But you got to imagine being a little white kid being named like Sasuke, and they're just looking at you like, what? And you're like, what? That's what my mom and dad named me. What's wrong with it?
Is it cultural appropriation if you were saddled with it from birth?
I don't know.
That's a great question. I'm not sure.
Why do you ask that, Vernita?
There was a guy I did play Yu-Gi-Oh! With that his wife is Japanese and he's American. That's how I met her through the Navy. And all their kids are literally named after anime characters because they both love anime. So one of their kids is named Kenshiro. They have Rei, Aika, Akane are all their kids' names. What's funny was his son Kenshiro did not know who Kenshiro was. He goes, well, that's my name. And I'm like, well, you know what you're named after? And his dad's like, yeah, he's too young to watch that. And I'm like, all right, now he's old enough to watch it. He goes, all right, that's pretty cool. I like my name.
Here's your heritage, son.
Pretty much.
Nah, my cousin, her middle name is the nerdiest name I've heard to this day. It is Bokusetsu no Mari.
Okay, spell her middle name for us, please.
B-O-K-U-S-E-T-U-Z. What was it? Setsu. S-U-N-O-M-A-R-I, if memory serves.
Okay, so
M-O-U-S-E.
So if you can still spell that, you haven't had enough to drink.
Yeah, keep drinking, man. And until you spell it and it comes out Bukkake or something.
Oh, give it time. I am
that kid's gonna have colored hair in junior high. I'm just saying it.
Oh yeah, for sure.
I still say the weirdest thing is that the day Vernita walked up to me and I hadn't quite fully know who she was yet. And she goes, my kids watch you on the internet. And I'm like, oh, that's a double-ended conversation right there. You either like what your kids watch or it's the, I don't like what my kids watch. Thankfully it was the good thing.
I got a good story. Speaking of kids, This happened when I first started cosplaying hardcore. So around 2002, I remember seeing this epic as shit cosplayer. She was cosplaying Ryoko from Tenchi Muyo. And I mean, she was down to a T Ryoko, like had the voice, the mannerisms, everything.
Now you're saying early 2002 cosplay. So this meant the fact that they did this all from scratch, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, that's cool.
Like they damn well should have been competing that year. And in walks this little girl that was also cosplaying Ryoko. Now, the quality is obviously going to be night and day because this little girl probably like did it the old fashioned way, go to the thrift store, work it out from there, and Party City Week, stuff like that. Stuff that we've all done at one point or another. Like when we first.
Oh my God. Party City Wigs. Yeah. I don't mean to interrupt, but Party City Wigs.
Well, right. Harder didn't exist. And then that, or you took a chance on the good old eBay wig and you hope it was what you got in the picture.
Exactly. So the cosplays were night and day, but what the older Ryoko did was she went up to this girl and she was gushing her ass off about this little girl cosplaying the same thing that she was, which nowadays I don't see often.
It's very rare anymore.
Yeah. So I literally saw this girl going, oh my God, I love your cosplay. And they were gushing about each other and loving this costume. They were loving the anime. They had this bond over this character. And ever since I saw that, it changed my perspective of cosplay, like bar none. Mm-hmm. That the idea that it could bring people together and it wasn't just all this drama, all this madness that was going on between everything. You could just simply enjoy cosplay for cosplay.
Right.
And that is my favorite memory about cosplay. Favorite memory about cons, too.
That's a good memory.
Story along that similar line was, as a cosplayer, you can put your heart and soul into a costume and it's just, you know, something might throw your mood off or whatnot. I find that a lot of times you can go through and just be frustrated, and cosplay is a good stress reliever and whatnot. I threw together a really shoddy Optimus Prime when the live actions first came out, and this was real early into the stuff. I was tired, I was frustrated, it was very hot that weekend. It was the middle of summer at Anime Iowa, and I was like, you know what, I'm really tired, I'm gonna go back to the room. Like, I had no energy, and then out of nowhere this little kid latches onto my leg and he's super excited, and the mom and dad came up and I'm wearing a helmet and they tap me on the shoulder and they're like, hey, you know, is it right if we get a, I'm like, yeah. And I look down and it's just a little three-year-old, and aww, he's just old enough to talk. And it was when the Lunchable Transformer toys came out, that you got the little fold thing, the cheapest.
Oh, yeah.
He had all of them in his hand and he was just, oh my God, Optimus Prime, oh my God, Optimus Prime, you were my favorite one, favorite one. And then it's like my battery gauge just went all the way through the roof. I'm like, you know what, I can think I could go run another 10 miles after that. Or I did Baymax one year and I felt so bad because I know the kid wasn't meaning to. I had no peripheral vision. I had like maybe this, and I felt something just ricochet off me. Now I can't see. My handler sitting next to me is like, you had a kid just bounce off you. And I'm like, oh, did I knock him over? They're like, no, you didn't. And what he did is that it was all foam rubber. So he tried to hug me and it slingshot him back. And I'm like, no. And the mom and dad's like, oh. And he came up and he hugged on me and they're getting photos and boomerang ball. Interesting. But no, it was just like moments like that just make you just sit and enjoy what you do. Because no matter how hot, tired, or sweaty you are, it just gives you that like, you know what? My day is not as bad as I'm thinking it is. And that just recharged me.
Yeah, no. When I cosplay Ichigo from Tokyo Mew Mew, a lot of people tell me I do it so well, and it was the first anime that they watched, and like they want to hug me because I bring it to life so much, and they just love that I'm just representing their character, and it makes them so happy every single time. It is definitely an energizer.
Those are good stories, but when I cosplayed Duke Nukem, a lot of people pointed and laughed and said, you don't look anything like Duke Nukem. I'm 60 years old. What did you expect?
I was about to bring that up. I was saying the funniest fucking part of that was literally the voice of Duke Nukem, one of the original voice actors in video game, walking around dressed as his character, and 90% of the people that night didn't fucking believe that was John until he talked.
Yeah, it was funny.
He's just like, oh, it's Duke Nukem. And they're like, uh-huh, yeah, what are you? And I remember there's this guy that walks off and John just belts out a Duke line. And the dude just stops with that look in his face of, oh, my God, that's him.
I remember that. That was very funny. We've cosplayed in groups a few times, Vernita and I, the Addams Family and the Incredibles, and every time we do it, it's like it brings so much joy to not people who see us, but to us. I had such a good time getting in makeup and dressing up. And I think Vernita likes dressing up enough too that cosplay is fun for her, but I won't speak on her behalf. Which was better, Addams Family or The Incredibles for you?
Well, I'm partial to The Addams Family, but I have to say that our best cosplay was The Incredibles, because as we were walking through the atrium at the con that shall not be named, our group was, you know, John and I as Mr. and Mrs. Incredible, and we had Barbara as Violet, and Stephen Leach was...
He was Jack-Jack.
Jack-Jack. Uh-huh. In all kinds of face paint.
Like, and we had Andre Harrell was Frozone.
Yeah.
And we had everything except one thing.
We were only missing an Incrediboy, and we're coming trooping through the atrium just laughing our asses off, and then we see... an Incrediboy across the way.
And this kid totally did it at home from scratch because he looked just like Incrediboy from the movie.
Yeah, it was so homemade. And it was like, you know, marker Sharpies on a t-shirt. It was so great. Yeah. But the best part was he was, in fact, not affiliated with us.
And but, I told him that a few times. You're not affiliated with me.
But we dragged him along with us for about an hour.
Yeah.
And every time somebody wanted to take our picture, we'd kind of shove him out of the shot and go, you're not affiliated with us. And so there's probably hundreds of photos of him being like half pushed out of the photo. But then, you know, we'd hug him and he knew it was part of the joke and it was funny.
Yeah.
But at the end of this hour, we're like, you know, thanks so much. We had a really good time. We're going to let you go. And he wandered over to his friends, and we didn't know this, but he was a John St. John fan. He was like there to get autographs from John. He did not recognize us. He didn't recognize John in costume. He did not realize he'd spent an hour getting shoved out of photos by John. But his friends knew. And so they told him once he walked away, and he's like, no fucking way. And it was so cute. And, you know, then we did photo ops for real and everything. But that was super memorable just because the kismet of it all that we had.
Yeah, and the kid was such a good sport. Yeah, it was so cool. And there was just so much happy associated with that. Same thing with the Addams Family, especially when Dan decided to jump in, Tricera Dan, and be Cousin It. And he nailed his part. He never spoke. He'd go, you know, and completely hairy. But the most impressive performance of all had to be Jonesy as Uncle Fester, because he literally shaved his head. He went out and he found the exact coat that Fester wore, and he was in character the entire time he was in costume, never broke character, and sounded just like Jackie Coogan's Uncle Fester. He was spot on perfect. Man, that was a good time. And we all had such a good time because we had such a great cast. Everybody enjoyed dressing up for it. And Bird, who is 7 foot what?
6 foot seven.
6 foot seven was our lurch, and he towers over us in the pictures. It was such a good time.
Yeah.
You know, and when people want to stop and have their picture taken with you repeatedly, and that was all day long. Mm-hmm. We just kept stopping for pictures with people because we did a great job with the cosplay, I thought. And there's so much joy to it. So I kind of missed Halloween this year doing something.
And that's
next year we got to do something.
And that's sort of, I think, where my favorite con stories all come from, is from, you know, somebody getting the chance to step out of yourself and just enjoy the moment that everybody's sharing. Yeah. Because, you know, we've built this little community that lasts for 4 days. And if we're lucky, we make friends that, you know, leave the convention with us. Like, you know, we're all friends here in this group right now. But even if you don't meet anybody that you take home, for those 4 days, you're part of this like little magical community that is just so cool.
Yeah, just a cool nerdy family, and everybody accepts everybody else. There's no judging anybody. Well, except for the literal judging of the cosplay.
Oh no, that's true. The prize involved. I mean, I admit I'm going to forever be judgy as fuck.
Okay, but, well, no, but not of people in particular. You know, cosplayers, whatever you're cosplaying.
I'll never judge anybody having a good time.
Oh no, no,
just being a dick.
Yeah. What, you being a dick?
No, I judge the assholes.
Oh,
I judge them hard.
Oh yeah. Well, they're that's not to say all cosplayers are wonderful. We've met some.
That's true.
There was that one.
I think they're fair.
Oh, this is a good transition into horror stories or the bad. Right?
Before we do that.
That is horror, not horror, although both may apply.
Oh, not like a... Oh, okay.
Before we do that, because somebody's been quiet on their good story, Maddie.
Well, I mean, I have one that I was going to go into, too, that we haven't delved on too much, which is for the con that shall not be named. Jax and I had the privilege of working with multiple different voice actors and other talents who have come in through the scene. And I think a really awesome thing to see actually is how fans interact with voice actors or people from outside of the scene, because they explain how much the voice actor and the show have touched their lives, especially when I was working with Robbie Damon and all the Sailor Moon cosplayers would explain things to him. And it's like, you've helped me so much through like this tough time, and like how your work has inspired me to make this type of art, and they'd share their artwork with him. And like, if it's one of the few things that you get to see working as staff that you don't get to see from other parts of the convention, because you're working with a voice actor and you're helping them out, and you get to see these special fan interactions, which I think are really neat and very special.
I would agree with that.
Oh yeah.
In fact, I'm looking at some fan art right now on the wall here in my studio, something that's so sweet from a Big the Cat fan. And it's special. You know what? Let me see if I can. I mean, Vernita doesn't want to be on camera. I didn't warn her there would be a camera, but maybe you can see Big the Cat there.
Oh, that's cool. Oh, I do. Yeah.
Unfortunately, a short wire on this camera, so I can't move it very far. And she doesn't know that I'm. Whoops. Uh-oh. Oh, no.
Run.
Sorry about that.
Video yeah, audio, she knows.
The stories behind what's going on and the interactions between the voice actors and their fans. I think a lot of voice actors feel that we know that we got lucky. You know, you got to have the talent, but you also have to be in the right place at the right time to land the right role to garner that fan base that makes you somebody, right? And the interactions we have with the fans are genuine. And I know that I always tell fans, I would be nobody without you, you know? And I joke around and I say, so you played my games growing up, huh? Well, hey, thanks for putting my kids through school. You know, they get a kick out of that. You know, and so we're giving back. And I think there's a lot of stories, Caleb, like you said, that maybe other people at convention don't witness, don't realize is going on. There's some very sweet stories. I have many of them, but I don't want to dominate all the time here. Maddie, what was yours?
Yes. Actually, it very much reminds me, very one specific Anime Central. This is back in 2012. It was probably the sweetest interaction I've ever seen with a voice actor and a conventioner was Travis Willingham was a guest there, and I remember this panel was full. It was packed. And then all of a sudden, the doors burst open, and it's just like, girl, maybe like 14, 15. She's just as hunting from or an ice cold house club. I mean, literally. And she's like dressed all to the nines. She has the ears, the little bunny tail, the little Usachan plushie. And she was just huffing it from the convention center down to the bottom of the Hyatt. And then in the sweetest voice, almost like a Lucy Christian, she's just like, what is she? You haven't given me a piggyback ride in a very long time. And the whole room just melted. We're like, oh my God, this is so cute. And then Travis is like, come here. And he gave her a piggyback ride. You can all find it on YouTube. But I just remember in that moment, I think I just adore Travis so much. And I think all the whole Critical Role game too. But it's just, oh God, it's those moments you're just like, the things that voice actors are willing to do for guests, I could eat that shit up all day. I really could.
I can only imagine what it would have been like when I was a kid to have met Mel Blanc or Dawes Butler or any of those legendary voice actors, and what it might have been like to have an interaction. I would have been just thrilled beyond thrilled. So when I meet fans who go, oh my God, I grew up playing your games, you know, I get it. I know what they're feeling, their excitement level. The ones that entertain me the most are the ones that are shaking, like they're so frightened to meet me, like, oh my God. And I just want to hug them and say, it's okay, man. I'm just another guy who voice acts. There's nothing special here.
And, you know, not to blow smoke up your ass, but a shout out to the voice actors who I've worked with, entertainers of many different varieties. And the voice actors bring so much joy because you get all of the fun of working with creatives, but very little of the ego. Because there's none of this don't you know who I am factor, because you're voices, not faces. And so I have been... very pleased and very privileged to get to work with the voice acting community with the anime cons for as long as I did, because that was a pretty...
She's looking at that picture of me dressed up as Duke Nukem. Thank you, Brad.
But that was pretty wonderful. Yeah. But, and not to just continue to dominate, but fuck it. I have to say that the best good, aside from you, honey, that came out of any of my convention experiences is Team Pineapple.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's a great group of people.
And for those who don't know who Team Pineapple is, your loss. They are the group that ran guest relations
for the con, which will not be named.
Not just for the con that shall not be named. They were actually so good and so efficient. Other conventions went and said, how can we get your people at my show? Yeah.
That's right.
And
yeah.
So we did some road shows and went on the road. And
that's right.
And this is a group of people that I still love and still treasure and still consider family. But it was a community that was so unique and original. And it was just like symbiotic, almost, the relationship. Mm-hmm. Everybody knew they could trust and depend on the person next to them. Mm-hmm. People who started off just as volunteers are, you know, fast friends. But everybody invited everyone into their community, and it became really much more of a family than a group of coworkers. And I know that a lot of work groups throw the word family around loosely, but the Pineapples really are their own special entity. And I feel so lucky that I got to spend several years with them. And there's probably few things in life that I am more proud of than and how that team turned out.
And I'm so lucky that a good part of that team comes along on King Con Cruise, and they actually work with us. And that's, I'm lucky because of you, honey.
Yeah, you are.
Yeah, I am.
And we love you too.
Yeah, we love you too.
We also get to help you run really awesome panels if you'd like to plug your current panel schedule.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We like helping with panels too.
Yeah. Even when we're completely and utterly crippled, we definitely love helping. Oh God, I've been drinking too much.
Or not enough.
We're not even through the bad yet.
Yeah, yeah.
We got to yourself.
This is prepping me for the bad, actually.
Yeah, that sounds very true.
Oh man.
Oh, that's one. Oh, Brad's sending pics. That's one of our Adams family. That was the second time we did it, isn't it? And Jones again shaved his head a second time. That guy, he had grown all his hair back. I'm sorry, we went off course here. But Brad's sending out photos from when we were the Adams family at the that con that shall not be named, or the other one. And that's the second time we did it. Mm-hmm. Cosplay, so much fun. Okay, now the bad. I've been hugged by furries that never cleaned their costumes.
Oh,
and
ew.
The scent is a particular scent that I shall not forget anytime soon.
Oh.
And I don't carry Febreze on me, so that's part of the bad right there.
It's someone who does.
A statement against the furry community.
No, it is
only
not.
Against those individuals who do not understand laundry.
Thank you for clarifying that. Yes.
Yeah, I was going to say, as someone who does big cosplays, I will confirm the fact this is no excuse. Big cosplays, armor cosplays, furry cosplays, everything else like mech cosplays. We all know the fact that we stink and smell. Most people make sure that they have some kind of cleaning apparatus or an anti-smelling apparatus, because no matter how clean you are, it's going to stink after a bit. But there are just some that you're just 15 feet away and you could smell and you're like, oh
yeah. God. And as soon as you catch whiff of it, you start just breathing through your mouth.
Yeah.
This reminds me, as an old school cosplayer, of Tuna Chan. So that I'm just saying.
Oh, no.
In the Renaissance Festival community, that particular aroma is known as fighter funk, because it is a smell that comes out of armor.
Right? Yep. Fighter funk.
It's also, the funk. The also funk very, is on them.
Also very common in game rooms, too. That I don't miss that at all.
Yeah.
Gen Con's 24-hour game rooms.
Actually,
I'm not kidding. For years, I heard about Gen Con's 24-hour gaming section, and this was mid to late 2009, something like that. And this is before all the online Critical Role, everything. Gen Con is the largest tabletop convention in the U.S. There are almost 100,000 plus people there every year, and they have 24-hour gaming wings that you don't have to leave. So there are some people that will get there Wednesday and will not leave till Sunday. I'm not talking sleep or shower or bathe or
costumed individuals. You mean?
They'll just be in regular clothing and they'll just like do a D&D campaign all weekend or Warhammer or anything else, but they won't leave. And my friends go, do not go towards that wing. You will smell it from just a good section away. And there was a YCS there for Yu-Gi-Oh! And I'm like, I'm just going to go down there. I'm going to go do the Yu-Gi-Oh! Thing. I was down there on Saturday and I walked down to the section and it was just like a wall of, hey. I couldn't get the air. It smelled so bad. And I'm like, what is this? I'm like, it's 24-hour gaming wing. Don't go in. And it was disgusting because no one showered. And I'm like, I've always wanted to do a monk cosplay where I walk around and I can't because of con rules of a Febreze decanter with incense and smell. I've asked several con directors and they're like, we like the idea, but we can't spray anything on anyone. And I'm like, that's fair. I get that. And I'm like, but they're like, we really want something that'll deodorize a con room. I cut in. Anyone else have bad con stories?
Actually, something that'll cut through the funk of a thousand nerds.
Oh,
so blowtorch. Lions. Oh my God. I have hundreds of stories of poorly managed lions. I think the worst that both Brad and I have ever experienced was C2E2. What was it? 2019?
Oh, no. It was C2E2. I know why they did what they did for that lion. So it's a two-parter. The worst line we've ever been in was Anime New York City last year when they were trying to implement COVID procedure, except they did nothing. And the line stretched for probably almost 16 New York City blocks.
Oh, my God.
So that's this is where bad. New York Comic Con is. And Anime NYC is a small convention. We're talking, like, I think 25, 30,000 and not like C2E2 size or San Diego Comic-Con size. So we're like, all right, that's not too bad. They have an ample staff. And we got down there at like 10 on that Friday. And we did not get inside the door until almost 5 o'clock. And the convention was over at 7.
And
they were doing COVID checks. And I'm like, that's fair. That's fine. You're doing COVID checks. And we were grumbling in line and it wasn't going through because they were doing one line for everything. Artist alley, dealer, VIP, everything. We're all through one door. And one guy's, well, what bright idea would you do? And I'm like, it's easy. Go on the forums a week before. You toss out 10 free volunteer badges for the weekend and they're your gophers for the line. You go through the line, you get everyone to have your verification checks, show your ID card and everything else like this. Boom, there's your orange band. You got your COVID. Are you already pre-registered? Boom, go on in. And it would shorten the line so quick. They ended up getting to a point in the afternoon where the people in the line just stopped caring and bum rushed the door. And we were literally just taken along with it because there wasn't anything we could do. The crowd just moved. They had to refund all the Friday one day passes for that. No.
It wasn't even just that hot. It was just there were people says, you know, I barely got to spend any time at the convention. And people were, well, and the convention, like, well, because you stepped inside.
They first tried to be like, well, you were in there for like 20 minutes. And no, like by Saturday morning, like, we're sorry. Here's your Friday badge back. I hear it's going to be a little bit different this year. And then the second one, which was the legitimately worst line, but I know why they were doing it, was at C2E2 2018 with Critical Role. One actor by the name of Matthew Mercer was there. And his line was just outrageous all weekend. Now, everyone else at Critical Role was there. It was pretty simple and easy. Get an hour or two in because they had a set line, set people, and then they had overflow. And then you just came back at set times. Matt's did not move at all that weekend because they were allowing people to get 10 to 15 items signed because the convention knew it was going to get a considerable amount of money out of it because it's Matthew Mercer. He is pretty much anime god at this point right now. He's fighting Steve Bloom on some precedents on some things. And Critical Role blew that out of the water because there was a huge crowd for that there for D&D. We kept getting jerked around, and by Saturday, we didn't get any progress in line. I'm not kidding. The line was going so slow because there was a lot of comic shops and they were hawking. So it got to a point where I kind of shot my mouth off next to a staff member, and I'm like, what the fuck do we have to do to get through this? And they're like, well, you know, let's walk this way. And I'm like, great. I'm going to get kicked out of the convention because I pissed off a staff member or something because he didn't look at me in the right way. And then he kind of pulls me aside and goes, hey, so let's say I drop this thing on the floor and you guys pick this up. And I look down and it's this little golden ticket. And that year, what they were doing, it was like kind of a get out of jail free card on stuff. If they like your cosplay, they'd hand you one. It was kind of that unannounced game, like 1 year at a con's name shall not be named. Funimation went and hid like 10 golden Friezas and they were only of 100. But if you found it, you got to keep it. So it was kind of one of those things. Well, the golden ticket let you jump any line you wanted to, no matter what. And I'm like, for sweet, then we have our chance to get in with Matthew Mercer. So rest of Saturday, we go enjoy the rest of Saturday. We don't waste the day because it was such a line, because we killed almost 2 full days on that. And Sunday comes by. We're all ready to get our photo with him. We already have an automatic photo with him. We got that taken care of. So we got like a bunch of stuff because we had like 5 people's worth of stuff, which we only had like 8 things all together to get signed compared to a couple people were walking through with wagons. And we get there and there's an app for the convention, and the convention app just kicks right on in, and it goes like at 10:30, and it goes, alert for everyone, as of 10:30 on Sunday of this day, Matthew Mercer's lines have all been locked off. No one may enter any of them. And I'm like, oh, no. And
I remember too, we were in the garage and I'm like, I just looked at my app and I'm like, we need to run. Like, holy shit.
It was
like,
funny because I made Maddie like carry everything, and I'm in a full like black suit, everything, because we were going as Noctis and Luna, because he's from Final Fantasy 15. And I booked through and I got in. I'm talking to this guy, and the guy's like, I'm just out of breath. I've huffed all the way in there. And this guy's like, oh, no, you're good. You just walk in whenever you want to. And I'm like, oh, my God. The looks we got in line were, but that was the worst line. It killed almost a whole weekend of the convention, but it was that. But there's others to talk. I don't want to take over the time.
Before we go to the next one, what I was actually going to bring up was, since we've been talking about horrible room funk smell, for our listeners that are normal to our show, we have a saying on this show called Smells Like Con Sunday.
Yes, we do.
And anyone that has gone to an anime convention, anyone that's gone to a gaming convention, any convention whatsoever, especially furry cons, especially Smash tournaments, you know what Con Sunday smells like. I don't have to describe it.
You know, I'm hearing a YouTube parody song to the tune of Sunday Bloody Sunday about con funk.
Sunday Funky Sunday?
Sunday Funky Sunday. Maybe. Con Day.
That's where it came from.
We can figure out the lyrics. I'd shoot it. Speaking of con funk, I'll tell you this. Someone on this podcast right here rocked out some amazing videos in a black Charizard this past summer. But afterwards, it made him a little schwitzy, let's just put it that way. It's hilarious as hell to watch.
Oh, me humping air as a Charizard? Is that the one we're talking about?
I love that the green room was all like, you burst in and they're like, who is this?
Yeah, I was proud of that.
Yeah. Oh, I know. You scare the video is hilarious because you can see like half the room's like, whoa, wait a second. And they're like, oh, never mind. It's just John.
Yeah. Yeah. It's that idiot again. Is he still here?
Oh, well, like, oh, Brittany, you can see on the video, you can see Brittany, the con director. She's just like, oh, okay, never mind. We're good.
It's John. It's okay. It's safe. Don't worry. He's just being a dork.
Vernita, you have been quiet for this one. Do you have a bad con story?
Oh my God, does she have a bad con story?
How much time do you have?
The real question is, do I have bad con stories I can tell without getting sued? Because I have some bad con stories.
Exactly. Here, get closer to the mic and let's go. Here, I'm moving out of the way.
I will drag you back to the show for this one.
Okay, well, we're not gonna do 2 hours on my bad con stories. Pick a category, any category.
Weirdest flights for guests getting fucked up somehow.
Ooh, that's a good
category.
Sure,
because I can tell one right now that it was your problem.
it was my problem.
Go for it.
So we had one guest who
will be unnamed, right?
I will not name names, because to be honest, of all things, they were the victim of the situation.
Yeah.
Through a series of unfortunate events, because they had been on the receiving end of just, you know how you have, there's like, in any large group project, there's always one little mistake. Mm-hmm. Well, in the case of booking flights, you're booking the flights, you're confirming the flights, you're sending out the tickets, you're arranging the airport transportation. And there's always one mistake with each of these things. But in this particular instance, this poor guest was on the receiving end of all of the mistakes.
And it's also the telegraph game. It's not Vernita directly in touch with the guest to get the flights done. It has to go through channels.
Right. So the process at this particular event was, I offered the what we needed for the flight to the travel agent. The travel agent would then come back with flight options specific, which I would then forward to the talent agent, who would then confirm those flights options, which I would then forward back to the travel agent, who would then issue the ticket and then directly send the ticket to the talent agent so that I didn't necessarily have to relay that, but I was supposed to get a copy, which then went to transportation to make sure that we had the airport pickup. This one particular guest got the mistake that came from the travel agent's office, and they sent their agent a ticket that was not valid. So this particular guest left for the airport to come to the city the convention was in, got to the airport thinking they had a ticket, tried to check in with that ticket, they didn't, and had to call their talent agent, who then called me, who then called the travel agent. And through a series of, you know, verbal acrobatics, we got this guest on the plane, we got them to the city that they were supposed to be in, and thought that was enough of it, except that this was the name that got left off of the airport pickup list. And so they called from the airport again to their talent agent, who then called me, but I was not available because I was already meeting other guests, so it got forwarded to the group helpline.
Who's driving me to the con? I'm at the airport. Where's my car?
Yeah. Oh,
so you guys have no idea. No. Just scheduling the flight for one guest is a 2-week frickin' process.
Right.
As Vernita might not have explained just then, yeah. It's got to go through 3 people, and you got to wait 2 days to expect a single response about a single question.
Right.
Sorry, go ahead.
So, long story long, this guest got to the hotel, and the hotel had lost their reservation. Had to get moved into a different room.
Jeez.
And then somehow magically managed to keep their spirits up and turn out a relatively successful appearance without getting too cantankerous about the whole mistake. But come convention Sunday, they were well and truly ready to get the fuck out of Dodge. And so they went to go meet their car for pickup to go to the airport, which was late, and then got them to the airport late from their planned reservation, and then they went to the check-in desk to check in for their flight,
which had just left.
Which, again, because if you remember back to the beginning of the weekend, they got the wrong email, so they were not registered as passengers of this airline at all. At which point they called and they were like, listen, the airline says we don't have a ticket, and I'm sure you got us a ticket, but they say we don't have a ticket, and if we don't have a ticket, can we just buy one here and you'll reimburse us? I didn't get that call. Someone else got that call, and they gave the appropriate response, which was, absolutely, if you don't have a ticket, we will reimburse you. And that was when the call dropped, and they did not hear the rest of the, but give me a moment and I'll call our travel agent to make sure you have the ticket. So the person on the convention end did conscientiously call the travel agent, find out that the ticket was issued, got the ticket emailed from the travel agent to the talent agent, and finally got back in touch with the guest, only to find out that they had only heard half of the conversation and bought a ticket anyway, and they were ready to get boarded onto their flight.
Which was first class, if I'm not mistaken. Is that the one I'm thinking of?
It was a last minute ticket purchase, so it was not cheap.
Uh-huh. And it was a first class ticket, was it not?
It was what was available. It was not.
Was in first class. Just yeah. Say yeah.
Okay, I do believe it was. Thinking. But it was.
No.
In defense of the guest, it was literally what was available right then.
One more question. Was this particular guest, was the manager or person booking a family member?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, my God.
So, but they got home. They were, you know, I mean, still trying to be a good sport about it, but definitely never, ever coming back to this convention.
Definitely not. Yeah.
And then they're still trying to be a good sport about it. And then, you know, a week after the show, we get the reimbursement request for that last minute flight ticket. And because a ticket had been purchased, that reimbursement was denied, which turned into a social media, oh, my God, no. And then peace was eventually brokered based on the fact that we would actually reimbursed because it was an honest mistake on the guest's part. They were not trying to take advantage. They were definitely the victim of not just that situation, but like a whole series of situations all weekend, and they earned this. So
a comedy of errors.
A comedy of errors.
Yeah.
Or a comedy of errors, as the case may be in this case. But sadly, that reimbursement never got paid. So I do believe that guest is still super not thrilled with me in particular and that particular convention. Well, that's the curse of being guest relations. It's my name that everybody knows.
Yeah.
So anytime we had somebody not get paid for any event.
Yeah, it's all on you.
There was, you know,
who hands the guests the envelopes with cash for their appearance fees?
It used to be you,
as I recall.
But mine is the email. Mine is the name they know. So yeah. I'm the person they are trusting to look out for them. And whether or not it's beyond my control, mine is the name they remember as the one that screwed them over. So this person is not my fan.
Yeah, that's true.
Although I will forever be their fan for showing so much grace under such a ridiculous circumstance.
She's a lovely person. And you all know who she is.
She's a wonderful person.
Yes.
Yeah, so, very wonderful.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, in terms of it being my name, there was another convention that happened in Chicago, and that is as detailed as I will get, that also didn't pay a whole bunch of people. And again, it was my name that was mentioned and my name that they knew. And so I got to spend some quality time with the Illinois State Attorney General when they were being investigated for fraud.
Yeah, they were bad. Oh, no. There's your bad con story. It was called Something Fail.
Yes.
Oops. Can I say it?
Well, you can say Fail. That's not its real name.
Okay. Chai Fail. Yeah.
But yeah, there were, I'd say I have a number of con stories that happened the week after the con with talent agents shouting at me on the phone because they had not gotten paid.
Yeah. And you gave us a twin spin just then. That was that was two wrapped up in one. Well done, Vernita.
I think
that was beyond a fucked up story.
Yeah, that's fucked up. I'm sorry that happened.
No,
that's kind of typical, is it not? I mean, not the comedy of errors or the tragedy of errors with that one person. And that one person is a wonderful person.
Yeah.
So sad that it happened to
they
that
are
person.
Actually a lovely yes. human being yes. and like I said, I will forever be their fan because
grace
they really did handle themselves with a lot of grace under pressure.
Yeah.
Not a single fan
knew.
Out of the 20,000 people that came through that door, not a single one of them knew that she was going through such a shit show. I'm sorry. I was trying to be gender neutral so I wouldn't be super specific.
No, it's cool. I had already kind of given that away. She's a lovely person and a great actor.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. You know, big props to nameless voice actor.
Mm-hmm.
Now, since we've actually jumped into the fucked up stories, I think
Maddie
has been jumping at the bit for this part.
So,
yeah. So, you know how sometimes there are people who maybe just maybe shouldn't attend a convention or may not necessarily know certain tact or certain, you know, things that you probably shouldn't say in general. This was at the convention that shall not be named. And one of our friends, we were just hanging out in line, just sort of relaxing and chilling. And this one guy in front of me, I swear to God, probably never gets a whole lot of action. He's like, I would fuck her pretty face in the mouth and all that stuff. And I'm like, why? Why would you say that? Stand in the line for said person. Why?
That's ridiculous.
Short answer, there's a lot of stupid people at conventions, Maddie.
That's true. Unfortunately, that is true.
They're called Americans.
Mostly Americans.
Yeah, that's fair.
That's also true.
I am so glad I've been drinking consistently before hearing that. Holy balls.
Is that why you're so quiet, Jax?
Sound off if you're intoxicated. I know I am.
Amen.
I had some tequila earlier. I'm good.
I had some hard cider.
I've been drinking.
I got worked.
Brandy this entire time. So,
John's have you ever tried Dixon's?
I have actually. It's not bad.
Yeah, you've had Dixon cider. Okay, good.
Well, I was going to say I haven't tried Dixon's, but Maddie does like a big old can of Dickon cider. So,
but don't wait till I get home.
Jack, well, I hope she finds that big kegs.
It doesn't help the fact that the brandy I'm drinking is BJ. BJ Brown. Oh,
what is it poured out of a wide mouth can?
Wow.
So since Vernita did Vernita's story, John, do you want to jump in on one?
Oh, on a really effed up con story? This is the fugly part.
This is
now the, you stop swearing?
This is the fucked up part, yes.
This is the non fucked up part.
Get another shot of tequila in him. He's sobering.
I just have such a bad time remembering things. There are several fugly con stories. Throw one at me that I can go off on. Vernita, you remember them better than I do. I was drinking during them.
What about the guy that messed up your tech set?
The tech set story is a good one. Yeah,
I heard about the microphone incident. That
when you pissed off the entire tech crew.
Oh yeah, well they didn't know what the fuck they were doing, you know. And I'm an audio expert. At least I was at that time.
What about
now I'm a cantankerous old man, right?
I see. Unfortunately, you have a talent for spinning the bad into the good. So when you say bad con stories, I'm like, well, there's that time you got kicked out of a wedding, but that was funny.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. That wasn't fugly so much, though. I'll tell it anyway, though. It's a great story. Thank you for that.
You did end up not enjoying it the next day.
No, that's true. I was at MAGFest. Which one was it? Who knows? Who cares? It doesn't matter. Wes Johnson, the voice of Shea Gorath and your Washington Capitals hockey champions. He convinced me to crash a wedding in Baltimore that weekend. So that Friday night, first night of the con, I jump in his little clown car and we drive down to Baltimore in our suits and we crash this wedding where we get photos of being kicked out of the wedding and the bride slapping the fuck out of me as though I'd said something, you know, all posed so that we could show them the next morning in a panel. Oh, last night we went to Baltimore, crashed the wedding. Look what happened. And it was very funny, except the food they served included crab cakes. I'm not a big fan of crab anyway, but I had some and I got food poisoning somehow. And so right as Wes and I pull up to the Adams Mark Hotel. No, it was the Alexandria Hilton, the original MAGFest site, I think it was. At midnight, we pull up and I open my door and I literally fell onto the parking lot out of his car. I was so weak and clinching so hard to keep from pissing out of my ass because it was an hour drive and cakes, food poisoning, botulism, whatever you want to call it, had kicked in full strength. I just barely got to my room in time to explode from both ends. Thank God the bathtub was crammed up next to the toilet so I could just lean over and barf while I'm crapping my ass off. You guys enjoying this? I can tell you are.
Do you need to be so graphic?
Yes, I fucking have to be graphic. This was a traumatic event. I loved MAGFest. This was like my fourth or fifth year in a row there. And I had the best times of my life at fucking MAGFest.
Before me.
Before you came along. And the entire weekend was ruined. The next thing I remember was Wes begged me to come crash his panel on Sunday morning. Okay, 2 days later. You know, and so at 10 a.m. and I'm like, are you fucking crazy? Well, I managed to get up and get a shower, which felt good because I just felt dirty from all the stuff coming out of both ends of my body simultaneously for hours until I was just retching with nothing coming out. You know, the dry heaves. Am I being explicit enough? Okay, over the top.
Oh, no, we've all
been. Anyway, you're fine. I mean,
so I show up at his panel on Sunday morning and everybody assumes. Everybody who's attending this panel, there's like 200 people there, all assume that I'm hungover and it's funny because my arms are crossed and my face is down on the table. And Wes is trying to explain to them that I wasn't drunk. You hasn't seen John at the con because he's been sick all weekend. And I remember appearing at his panel, getting a round of applause that felt like it was just killing me to hear people clapping. Got back to my room, threw up again. Got in bed and there was a Chargers football game on that Sunday. And I spent watching football sick in bed the last day of MAGFest and flew home the next morning. I was fine. So that's a pretty fugly story. Did I make it fugly enough?
That was, yeah.
Was I graphic enough for you? Okay. All right.
I was going to say, man, that reminds me of that 1 year at ASIN when I drank Zombie Punch and did almost the same thing. So yeah, it's,
you can relate.
You have that flavor in your mouth. You're like, no. No, you just want to die. I think it took me 2 hours to pack my suitcase because we had to check out by set time.
I had this neighbor friend named Kathleen when I lived up in San Clemente years ago, who we went to this concert together and she drank red wine all night while we're watching this band Orleans sing and play and stuff. I got to host them, right? So the show ends and she stands up from the table and didn't realize how much she had drank and was instantly drunk. right? So she drove me there. She had a Dodge Viper, believe it or not. So I got to drive her home in her red Dodge Viper. She lived in the condo under me, and I had to help her in because she was so sick. And then she just started hurling red wine puke. And to this day, the smell of red wine is not a favorable smell for me. I can't do it. Or Sambuca. Oh, my God. If you've ever smelled somebody's Sambuca throw up, which is like black licorice combined with barf, that's just horrific.
It's never fun what's coming out of both ends. I've been there before, and it's just never a pleasant time.
Did you have a bucket in your hands, or did you have a handy bathtub next to the toilet?
I had a handy bathtub next to the toilet, luckily.
There you go. Yeah, it's easier that way for sure. Yeah. Did I make anybody sick?
Not even close
enough. No.
Yeah, but you're always nauseated when I speak, Vernita. We don't know if that's a good gauge.
It's called love, not nausea.
Okay, who's got the next fugly? Vernita, do you have a fugly from Con?
We started with me.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that one. Too bad, because she's so lovely. It's hard to put her in a fugly story. True. Who hasn't done one? Well,
the story that happened, it happened to her. She was the victim of the fugliness.
That's mm-hmm. true.
She herself is kind of devastatingly pretty. It's almost rude
how
pretty she is.
She's stupid pretty. I have a cosplayer fugly story, why you guys had me on here. Because was it one year I had a costume melt on me. I mean, literally.
Oh no.
Melt on me.
Was it due to the sun?
Well, it was for a convention called Anime Iowa, and they were notorious for their very small parking lot filling out. But the next closest parking lot you could get was a 10-minute walk down the road, and they had a big lot that they had reserved for everyone, so it was overflowed, and we were just going for Saturday. Well, I do duct tape cosplay for those who are here listening to this podcast, so I made an entire Kamen Rider Decade Sentai style cosplay out of duct tape, and I had the full outfit and everything, and I locked in, and it was a really hot day, and I'm like, I have it set to where I can get inside and I'm cool and everything. It was very, very warm that day. It was about 110 degree on the heat index. I'm like, I've got a 10-minute walk. A 10-minute walk is all what I have to do. So two parts locked in, and I'm like, let's walk down the street. We got halfway down the street, and my costume just started kind of moving on its own. It started feeling like the joints were going a little slack, and I'm like, it's only been 5 minutes. It can't be that hot. And then I started realizing that all the color and decorations all done with duct tape, it started smearing, and we got to get inside. We got inside and had the AC was cranked so high inside that you could see on a cold day, you got a hot body steam coming off of me, and they're like, you good? And I'm like, I don't feel really good. So we took half of it off. 10 minutes is all has passed at this point. I got in, felt super nauseated. I was very exhausted. I'm like, I'm overheating. We took it off. I cooled off, and we're looking at sections all around it where all the heat was going through, and it had melted like someone had held the lighter to duct tape, and it got so warm and malleable that it was all putty around it. I'm like, I am not building a costume again this way. I have never built anything since then. So if anyone is ever getting into cosplay, I don't care how cool it looks, ventilate. You need to make sure there are ways to cool off your body, because I'll let you know what it feels like knocking over a stage in a costume. It's not comfortable. You need to make sure you don't dehydrate.
Yeah. Please hydrate and ventilate, because that's important. You should always be drinking water at any con you're going to.
I mean, anyone who does big costumes, armor, fursuits, everything, you need a camel pack or an ice vest. Camel pack is great because you can have your water in there and it fits on your back, and you put cold water in there and it will cool you down.
Mm-hmm. Now, that being said, I do have a story similar to this. Anime Weekend Atlanta 2009. The only time I ever tried to do a huge cosplay that cost me about $1,000, never got to wear it.
Which one was it?
Shishomaru.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
I remember you talking about that for years.
Yeah, it was the Shishomaru cosplay that shall never be seen by the light of day, simply because it never got to see the light of day. I took a road trip to go see my family, since most of my family live in Atlanta or Georgia and some areas around there. I came out that way. I finished this costume, but this is around the time when Wonderflex became a huge name brand thing. Before, it wasn't a thing. So around this time, I was like, oh, I can build this entire cosplay's armor out of Wonderflex. I'm just going to go full tilt balls to the wind with this, because this is the latest and greatest thing.
I think I know where this is going.
Oh, yeah. I did everything. I actually got it down to a point. I sealed it. Everything was good. I left it in the backseat of the car trying to get a hotel room.
Oh, no.
Completely forgot to go back for 3 hours. I come back to the car. I look in the backseat, and all I see is this gelatinous mold on top of my costume.
Yep.
And I cried a little bit. Because that mold, that ball was about $1,000 worth of Wonderflex.
Yeah. To those who do not know, listening to the podcast, Wonderflex was one of the first versions of thermoplastics using in cosplay armor. People used to make cosplays out of buckets, guys. But the problem with Wonderflex is it has a very low melt point. Meaning body heat, heat from a surrounding thing will ruin it. And it was really bad. And a lot of people don't use it anymore. They use like a completely stronger version now that's like has no heat issue on that anymore. So, or they use the foam mats. But, oh, I remember you talking about that because you were talking about that for years when we'd play Yu-Gi-Oh! And then you're like, well, I'm going to go burn something in the backyard.
Yep. Burnt the shit out of that thing.
That doesn't surprise me. Though you do have a lot of unfinished cosplays.
We don't need to talk about the Regirock.
Yeah, that's what I was going to bring up too, was the Regirock.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, what's up, mister? I thought you were supposed to have some giant refrigerator-sized thing done by now. Where's this at? Chop, chop.
I don't even have a house right now. Fuck you.
Yeah, he's working at his house right now.
Acquire in this economy? Massive cosplay or a home?
Fair point.
I feel like we're over talking to other people on the thing. I feel like John and V would have some interesting chime-ins on that. Or actually, wait, someone said they were having bison burgers tonight for dinner.
Yeah,
John is.
Oh.
He stepped out for a moment to start doing some prep. So
I was going to say it got quiet.
Yeah, I got real quiet.
You can always tell when John's gone because it got quiet.
Right. Well, that's the whole thing too, V. It's like, you're very quiet when you're sober, but you get a drink or so in you, and the sass starts to slowly leak out of. So did you hear about that one time we had to do this and this? Oh, no, please tell.
Yeah.
Your stories are always fun to listen to.
Yeah, they are.
Well, part of that is, I mean, I grew up in entertainment, so my whole life story is a series of ridiculous anecdotes.
Fair.
You are kin. I have to drag you in on another episode. That'd be fun.
Yeah.
Oh, T with V. Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. Have I gone yet? Or am I the last one?
You are the last one.
So I'll start with mine. This is at a Midwest convention in 2013 or 2014. I don't remember the year, but I'm going to start off with saying cosplay is not consent because it goes down that fun rabbit hole before that was a big thing, like in what, 2015 or 2016. Mm-hmm. But I was doing a photo shoot with friends and random photographer wanted to get pictures which I was like, sure, no big deal. As a cross player, sometimes I wear short skirt, and the photographer or group of photographers decided to start shoving the camera up my skirt, which was really creepy and was a new thing for me at that time. So I always now shoot with friends. What, that's pretty fucked up. Like, if you're going for like that type of photo shoot, I get it, but like when I'm in public and I'm just hanging with friends, if you're just asking for a random photo and you don't ask for it, that's just like not called for. It's really weird and creepy and pretty shitty.
Oh yeah, the creeper level in the photographer community is ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
It almost makes you not want to advertise because you generally, there's a lot of cosplayers that like to do it as a hobby, but there are too many people that drown out the quality.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, let's be honest, the creeper factor is high. Oh,
unfortunate, yeah. But true.
And I feel bad about that because, you know, it's statistically the bulk of the convention community is just nerds that want to hang out with other nerds. And I say that with absolute affection. Nerd is definitely not a derogatory term in my home. Same. But you've got just enough of those predatory fucks that feel like they need to, you know, take advantage of the fact that you got a lot of people that are neurodivergent or just a little bit fringe and eager to belong or, you know, cosplaying. And it is stupid that there are so many people that just want to take advantage of that and don't understand boundaries. But I'm happy to kick any of them in the testicles if necessary.
Oh, yeah. No, I do the same thing, too. Like once that shit happened, like it was over real fast, real quick. Oh, yeah. Luckily, I had friends nearby, so luckily it got solved pretty fast. But yeah, definitely,
murder did not happen.
Yeah, but yeah, always bring a friend with you when you're shooting. If it's a photographer you don't know, be safe.
I was going to say, one of my favorite things to do when at cons, kind of at the Big Brother mode, is when we'll go in the gaggle of cosplayers and you'll see that one of your female friends is getting the guy look, is to stand right in front of her or stare at them. Just stare at them right in the face and wait for the eye contact to happen. Be in that position that they're going to clear as they see you. And that's honed from being a older brother to two younger sisters. And I have caught so many creepers at cons. They'll give me that stare back and I'll just stare right at them. And they'll have the, my stove is on, and they'll just, I've had a couple of them kind of bolt. But yeah, just kind of keep an active eye on out, or the whole, like, take the advantage of the fact that I'm the size of a brick shit house. Just go like, hey guys, what are you doing?
Should we talk? Play to your strengths, man.
Yeah. Hey, oh, I know. Hey, what, like, you doing, so, guy?
Oh, I always tell all my congoers, to anyone who's listening to this podcast, and this is the one word of advice I've done security at a few other things. If anyone is ever harassing you at a convention, if anyone is ever being inappropriate, or if anyone is ever making you uncomfortable, and I'm going to tell you the same thing all security is going to tell you. You need to snap a photo or video of them if able, because they're going to need to have identification of who this person looks like. If you have any kind of, like, name or identification, I get it. Sometimes you might not be comfortable sharing in the situation. We do at least ask, snap a photo of them. It helps. You can toss that thing on the Discord and people will find people real quick on that. Traveling groups. I know you want to be independent. I've known so many naive con goers that have made mistakes because they're just like, well, I just want to go off and do my, like, take a friend with you. Always take a friend with you. Always take a water bottle with you too, because hydrate people. Hydrate. At least eat solid meals a day too.
Yeah, do not just snack on random things throughout the day. Eat a proper meal, please.
We're going over the food plan for Colossal North right now, and I'm like, what crockpot meals are we taking? And I know we kind of diverged off the randomness of this, but it gone from, like, fucked up stories to, come on, con, you rookies. Actually, I was trying to think. I always still want to do, like, a con survival 101. Everyone does that every con, like, panel wise.
You are more than welcome to join us on it.
I'll hop on any which time. I love just doing, like, apparently I'm at a panel now. My favorite panel to help out with is this one, sexy, naughty, late night, fun time party from John St. John. Oh, you missed it. I've been working on my John and my DC impressions. I'm not as close to John as I want to be, but the DC Douglas one got very fun last week at Maddie's birthday party.
It did. That's true.
Because I just popped it off on the mic, and Matt looks at me and he goes, don't do that again. And I'm like, I'm sorry.
But I'm not. Do you know how Sexy Naughty came around? Came to be? It was a dare.
Really?
Yeah. So here's some good and some silly. And I feel like that's a good quick closing note. So I'll be fast about this one. Duke Nukem fans have been hassling John to do an 18 plus panel for years, especially in light of DC's erotic 18 plus panel. And he was just like, you know what? DC has got the erotic panel. Everybody else has their 18 plus panels. I don't need something that's going to be some sort of misogynistic sausage fest, because, like, what would you do with Duke Nukem in an 18 plus panel? And he's like, I want it to be something that everybody laughs until it hurts. And it is the most ridiculous, nonsensical, insane 18 plus panel that ever was. And that is where we started coming up with the sexy, naughty late night party, because we came up with all of just the dumbest things we could do that were 18 plus. Just to make ourselves laugh. We were all drinking and we were just thought this was riotously funny, and it actually turned out to be kind of a hit. People do love it. But I think the thing they love the most about it is that we're the first ones laughing and we are inviting them to join the fun. But yeah, it started as a joke.
I'll be dipped.
Yeah, that's pretty neat, actually.
Huh. All right. We've had some epic stories tonight, and this has been probably one of our best firesides, bar none. Sorry, Brett. But
oh, no, you're good. You're good.
As much as I love to continue this on, and as much as I would love to do this for another 3.5 hours, we're going to have to probably make this our time. So if my guests wouldn't mind jumping in and plugging yourselves and reintroducing yourselves again, that would be lovely.
And that's why my camera is non, so I can plug myself and nobody can. I'm sorry.
No one wants that visual in their brain.
Not even you?
Not even
me. Aw, will you plug me?
Oh my god!
Definitely in my head now. And
I see. You mean like a promotional plug? Of course, I would love to be able to talk about the King Con Cruise, which is a convention like no other, where convention meets vacation, and you're drinking to that. Me too.
Oh my god!
Oh, that was a good one. Oh,
that's gonna be a hell of a cruise.
Yeah, you can tell by the host burping and farting on this Zoom meeting that it's entertaining and. I'm sorry. Yeah. Okay. Here's the thing. I've been doing conventions for many years. And when I decided that I want to have my own convention, I decided to make it unique. I wanted to force the guests to interact with the fans rather than just see them at their signing table and have a short conversation before they disappear and you don't see that guest again. I wanted a convention where you'd actually interact because I love meeting the fans and hanging out with them. So I have a great group of voice actor friends who agree to come on the cruise each year. And because they like interacting with the fans as well. So King Con Cruise is where you get to hang out with voice actor celebrities and actually have dinner with them every night and do adventures with them, like climbing the rock wall or the wave rider that's on board this giant cruise ship, or other fun things like our drunk putt-putt, which is a first we're at the bar getting drunk and then we play putt-putt golf for a trophy. We have snorkeling adventures and kayaking adventures, which I'm especially fond of, in the Bahamas. Our cruise is a Monday through Friday from Orlando to the Bahamas and back. And it's a unique fan convention like no other, and it actually costs less than a land-based convention, because currently the rate for a single person to be on, say, an interior cabin for the week with all of your meals included is around $360.
That's Monday through good. Friday.
That's a good price.
Now, if you want alcohol, of course, that costs more. So you pay for an alcohol package, but you can drink all you want and it's all top shelf. So take it from me. I stayed drunk every year during King Con Cruise for extended periods of time because I had, well, Vernita to back me up so I can get away with it. And it is our vacation every year. We love doing it. I love doing it for the fans. I hope you can check us out at kingconcruise.com and consider coming along. And thanks for letting me plug my convention.
Of course.
Anytime you want to plug yourself, you're more than welcome to.
You said it that time, not me. Oh, I'll plug myself, pal. Oh, yeah.
Oh, y'all are incorrigible.
Yes, we all are.
True.
Thanks for the plug.
Always. Now, Brad, you're up.
Oh, all right. So the guy, so I was so engrossed with John's story and I'm like, oh god, it's my turn. I was gonna say, it's always fun to be on here and just be an old cosplayer and talk about war stories of being a staffer and the adventures and whatnot, and like, hey, yo, what's it like getting into cosplay? And I'm like, well, it's kind of one of those things of how well do you want to hate yourself, because it's a passion, but you do some dumb stuff to get there. You guys want to check me out online? My name is Brad Ducktape Hale, and you can find me on TikTok, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube. I do panels, cosplay, YouTube, whatever. I'm a millennial with ADHD. I just do whatever entertains me. I know we're going to be going around a couple cons this next year, doing some different photography events, video events, but hopefully run into you guys at cons. Always a pleasure chatting with you guys, and thanks for having me.
Always.
Of course. Glad to have you on again.
Jax, Caleb, thank you guys so much for having me on here. John, Vernita, as always, I love hearing you guys. I miss you guys.
We miss you.
We love you.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday once again. Thank you for coming on. Any place you want to plug yourself where people can find you before you sign off real quick?
Yes. So if you people want to follow me on my old nerdiness adventure, you can follow me. I am Biohazard03 on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok. I have a Facebook cosplay page. I haven't updated, but no, definitely Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. And
if you guys want to follow Maddie's secret Instagram, she doesn't know about it. It's called Binky's Funny Photos. I'll tag that on in. That's how I paid for my most recent update on my computer.
You already know how to find us. You want to hit us up on Twitter. We have our conventional crew without the E. We have our email. We have coffee. You know how to find us. You know the links. But as always, that's the end of our time.
Yep.
So with that being said, seriously, this has been the dream come true. I said it once, I'll say it again. We have wanted to do this episode with everybody here since day one. This was actually one of the core reasons why we started this podcast.
Yeah, it's been a dream come true. Long fulfilled goal, finally fulfilled. So yep. Step one out of many.
Yep. And actually do this for our 1,000 download special. That brings a tear to my eye. And not just because I've been drinking nothing but brandy for the last 2 hours.
So that might be part of it.
No, well, don't mess up the mic. Congratulations
on your 1,000 downloads.
Thank you.
I'm clapping as best audio-wise as I can without giving feedback. Yes, congrats, guys. Milestones like those are always fun. Hold on to them, enjoy them, and know that no matter what, no one can take that away from you.
Exactly. But, man, all right, we don't want to hold you guys much longer. So, as tradition, this is Jax.
And this is Cloud.
And we'll be signing off. Peace.